Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
Nearly everything we learn in studying the greater reality is wonderful. But there's a little bit that's kind of scary, and I'm a sissy, so for most of my life, I've enjoyed studying only the fun parts. But that was silly, because in fact, it turns out it's essential that we study all of it in order to understand any of it. We're trying to protect ourselves and those we love against the unseen, and it turns out that there is a little bit that's unseen and kind of unpleasant, and there are ways to lessen its impact on our lives. So we're looking for the whole truth. This is Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and our guest today is Peter Wright. Peter and I have sort of known each other for a long time, but I never really talked to him in detail about what he does, and my goodness, he's a licensed hypnotherapist and a past life regression therapist, and that's something we'll talk with them about on another day. But what I'm interested in is what he knows about negative beings who are not now in bodies and can attach themselves to us. And I especially want to know how we can avoid having them attach themselves and how to get rid of them if they manage to give us trouble. This is an area where I really only recently began to do the study I really should have been doing all along. So I'm going to be learning from Peter along with you. Welcome, Peter. I'm so glad you're here.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, Peter, as I say, is a hypnotherapist. He's going to tell us a little bit about that. But I'm interested in, I think everyone is interested in knowing sort of how did you get started in thinking about this field?
Well, with hypnotherapy, when I was 8 or 9 years of age, my older brother had a comic book collection. And one of the comic books was a Superman comic book. And back then, there were ads in the back of comic books that sold different products.
Oh, do I remember? Yes.
Yes, indeed. So there was an ad for a book on how to hypnotize your friends. And I thought, wow, I'm 8 years old. I really want to buy that book. So I went up to my father, who was a mortgage banker, and I showed him the ad and said, Dad, could you help me? I really want to buy this book, but I don't have any money. And my father looked at the ad and looked at his loving son and said, that's the stupidest idea I've ever heard.
Yes, a practical man he was.
Yes. And so it killed the idea for 15 years. But by the time I finished my graduate degree and came back to Washington, D.C., where I was living, I decided to explore hypnosis and eventually got certified as a hypnotherapist.
Well, good for you. Yes, our parents do kill. But isn't it a great revenge on him? You ended up doing it for a living. So
exactly. And he was very supportive.
Idea.
He was very supportive.
I'm glad to hear that. Once he understood you could make money at it, bankers think that way and mortgage brokers think that way.
Exactly.
So all right, what made you first start to think about negative entities, though?
When I began exploring hypnotherapy, I went to the National Guild of Hypnotists annual conference, which was held in New York City. And this is a gathering of the largest number of professional hypnotists in the nation. And their convention included, of course, usual workshops and speakers, and one of the first speakers they offered that year was Edith Fiore, who was a psychologist, she talked about spirit releasement.
Yes.
And I thought, my gosh, what is that? And that's what sort of prompted my getting involved in this field as one of the areas that I focus on in my practice and have been doing it for the last 25 years.
Oh, my goodness. No, her name is quite prominent in this field, so you certainly were learning from the top people. I ignored her for a very long time. but all right, I'm being brave now. I want to learn more of what you know. There are negative entities all around us, right?
That is correct. In fact, there are two working hypotheses here. One is that the personality does survive the death of the body. Okay. For example, many people have reported that they've experienced the spirits of their loved ones, often immediately following death.
Right. True.
So that's one hypothesis. The other is that there's no automatic clearing of negative emotions when we die. We carry these issues with us often into our next lifetime. And there's also karma, cause and effect, that can cause issues in this life or upcoming lifetimes.
Sure. So these entities then might be fragments of negative emotions? Is that what you're saying? They're not conscious?
I'm saying that there are typically four kinds of spirits, and the first kind is earthbound spirits. Second kind are negative entities. Third kind are extraterrestrials, mm-hmm. ETs. Mm-hmm. And the fourth kind are ghosts.
Okay, what is a ghost?
A ghost is actually the surviving consciousness of a deceased human. So in other words...
How is that different from an earthbound?
Well, with ghosts, they're attached to places and things,
okay.
Not people, such
okay.
as cemeteries,
oh, yeah, never go there.
Battlefields.
Right.
Hospitals.
Right.
Bars. While earthbound... Go ahead.
So I'm still trying to understand the difference, because my understanding of earthbounds is that they also tend to be attached to a place, but that's not the case?
They're typically, at least according to the way I was taught, ghosts are attached to places. Earthbound spirits are attached to people.
Okay.
They're basically the same.
Okay, so, but they're produced in the same way, right? Someone
right.
leaves their body, and then they just don't transition when they're supposed to.
Exactly. Often, for example, with battlefields, the person who died in the battle may be so completely surprised by death that they miss the opportunity to look for the light.
Yes.
And they just simply become mired in this other dimension as ghosts. Or the person who dies is addicted to alcohol or smoking. Or it's a mother who does not want to leave her young children behind, so she doesn't want to go anywhere but be near them.
Yeah.
So, again, those are earthbound spirits that stay, if you will, in that netherworld, in between sort of near our third dimensional reality, and can affect us.
Now, another thing that can happen, apparently, is that we're in a battle, we're fighting, and we are so caught up in the fighting that we don't notice that we've died, and we jump into the body of the guy fighting next to us, or the mm-hmm. enemy who's coming at us, and we mm-hmm. keep on fighting.
Exactly.
This seems to be a major cause of post-traumatic stress disorder. Experimentally, and as you, I've done a little homework, but not very much.
Uh-huh.
They've tried removing these attaching entities, and especially from Vietnam veterans who think about this, they've been suffering with this for 50 years. But I have read, and I don't know enough about it to say this for mm-hmm. sure, that they have sometimes found, you know, like a dozen of both Vietnamese and American possessing entities, and once they go into the light, this guy walks out of the office well. Does that actually happen?
Yes, indeed.
Talk about that.
Oh, yes. Well, if you consider that the immune system protects our physical body.
Right.
Okay? We know that.
Right.
The aura protects our spirit body.
Right.
And on occasion, the aura can become weak due to trauma, due to drugs, alcohol, having an open heart, if you will. And when the aura becomes weak, it becomes looking like Swiss cheese, and holes in the aura, so that these energies who don't know where else to go can move right into
yeah.
our energy fields and set
right.
up housekeeping.
Right, right.
And our therapeutic model says, based on a three-dimensional reality, that they don't exist because we can't see them.
Right.
Well,
that's
they
right.
do exist. And okay, I find that about... Go ahead.
I just wanted to make sure people understood what an aura is.
Mm-hmm.
Could you just briefly tell them that, and then we'll go on and talk about the therapy for this.
Okay. The aura is that electromagnetic energy field around us, and it extends about an arm's length on all sides of us. So it's our energy field that includes our chakra system and those aspects that make us human.
People can read auras, right? Some people can actually see them, and then they're able to read the energy of the aura?
Yes, uh-huh. Yes, and on occasion, photographs can be taken of the aura using, Kirlinian photography, something like that.
It's a hard word, I know. Yes. So this is a real thing that we all have, and it's everything I've learned is exactly what you're telling us now, which is reassuring to me. it's our spiritual defense system, just as our immune system is our physical defense system.
Exactly.
And it's very, very important to keep it strong, because mm-hmm. if it's not mm-hmm. strong, it's just like having AIDS physically. You don't have any immunity, and anything can attack you. And we're going to talk about the ways in which we can be attacked and what those symptoms are, and which is an area where I have very little knowledge, and Peter will be able to help us.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a serious problem. This is not a trivial problem. But now tell us, how do we weaken our aura, and how can we strengthen our aura?
Well, you can strengthen your aura by steering clear of alcohol and drugs, especially marijuana, especially recreational drugs. Those create holes in the aura. And, of course, getting appropriate exercise, eating the right foods, you know, doing the basic things to keep your body healthy can help keep your aura healthy. And to stay away from Ouija boards and
yes.
from those types of things that can open our aura, and to surround yourself with white light. As part of what I encourage my clients to do is to just simply imagine themselves surrounded by a bubble of white light, and just to sense and feel that within them for maybe 30 seconds or so. Asking for protection, and just knowing then that the protection of the light is there.
One of the things that I sort of, someone taught me to do this, and it seems stupid, except it seems to work, is that between and right above your eyes is your pineal gland,
mm-hmm.
and apparently that's like a chakra, which is another thing I know nothing about, but you can imagine a beam of spiritual light coming out of that place on your head and sort of filling the room around you as if it were water.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that, you could actually feel it happening if you imagine it strongly enough. And what I've found is you can use it also to help others. If someone is going through something that's terrible, you can project it to a distance. Story's too long to tell now, but I've come to believe very firmly that it's one way we can help our loved ones is by filling their houses with light.
Absolutely. We're all connected. All connected.
Yes.
And our intention is very strong in what we can do to not only help ourselves, but help loved ones and the world, Mother Earth.
Yes. I used to, as an exercise, try to cover the earth with white light, but I always fell asleep because I would be doing it while I was sleepy, and I would always fall asleep before I managed to save the world. Sorry, everybody, I did try. but this is all very true. And the reason we don't understand that it's true is that we have been believing physical science for too long. I mean, physical science tells us everything is material. There's really the energy that's correlated with matter. In fact, mm-hmm. very little of reality. There's nothing solid, so matter as such really doesn't exist. But even the energy that we think of as associated with matter that's located on this level of reality is probably 10% of what
mm-hmm.
actually
mm-hmm.
exists. So there's a whole world that Peter and I are trying to be scientists and understand until the real scientists show up and start doing the work they should have been doing all along and helping us make sense of this stuff.
Exactly.
But meanwhile, so we have four basic kinds of attaching entities, potentially attaching entities, and they could be in the room around us now, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
And but
or attached to us now.
Or attached to us now. We just wouldn't even be aware of it.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
So
that's a little scary. So how would we know that we had something that wasn't quite right going on and maybe something was attached to us?
Well, some of the common signs would be a low energy level or a sudden loss of physical energy. This next one is so important. Inner voices speaking to you, especially if the voices are negative. And I'll be getting back to that in a little while as to how I uncover them. But that to me, yes, we all have that negative self, or many of us have a negative self-talk, but this is beyond that. This is where you feel like there's just a frequent negative voice telling you that you're not good enough. Or
really?
Yes, indeed.
Why are they doing that? So let's assume it's a negative entity that is attached to us. Maybe we never even knew the person in life, and this person is attached. Why would they want to keep telling us we're no good?
Because their goal is to stop us. Their goal is to if you will, create problems in our life.
So they're just plain nasty for the joy of it.
Exactly.
That's terrible.
I agree. Right. I agree. So now let me explain the difference between an earthbound spirit or a ghost and a negative entity, all right? Because those are the two most common areas that I deal with.
Okay.
An earthbound spirit has never has had a physical body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Negative entities have never had physical bodies.
Where did they come from?
They're just energy, negative energy. We live in a world of duality, hot and cold, dark and light, sweet and sour. So they're simply part of that duality, and so they are here to just simply create havoc or make things difficult for us.
And some of them are going to be extraterrestrial, right? They actually may have been physical, but they've come here from another dimension.
Right, they come here from another dimension. Now, there are good extraterrestrials and bad extraterrestrials.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm talking here about the bad extraterrestrials, and typically they're here for scientific experiments on us.
Oh, how pleasant.
I know,
exactly. This person kill himself. That would be an interesting experiment to conduct. Oh, my goodness, that's terrible. Okay, so one of those signs would be just this negative talk or this lack of energy, lack of hope, lack of the way a lot of people feel a lot of the time. Is that mostly going to be possessing entities, or is that only one possibility?
Which one possibility? Another common sign would be repetitious nightmares, especially if the nightmares contain elements of violence.
Wow.
Or sudden onset of anxiety or depression, or physical problems that suddenly arrive with no obvious cause. So it's those types of things that cause people, and I encourage people to explore the possibility of whether there is something that has attached to them that might be either an earthbound spirit or a negative energy and entity.
Now, suppose that someone never drank, never took a recreational drug, has lived a really boring life. Could they still get something like this attaching to them?
They could. They're less likely to.
Less likely.
But they could.
Okay, wow. All right. And so what would they do then? I mean, for example, you have ways to diagnose this, right, if someone has this kind of thing? So they would want to come and see some. And are there other people like you, too, doing this kind of practice?
Yes, there are. And I'll talk about that at the very end.
Okay.
But let me tell you how I diagnose it. Okay.
Right.
So what I do is I take the client into a state of hypnosis, and all hypnosis is focused concentration, where you're fully aware of everything that's going on around you, but you're in a deeply relaxed place. So it's as if you're observing the world from a relaxed place, and yet we have access to your subconscious mind and your, if you will, inner guidance or guidance from the non-physical realm. Okay?
Okay.
So once you're in this very relaxed place, I invite you to imagine yourself standing in front of a magic mirror of truth.
Okay.
So to just sense and feel yourself in that in front of that magic mirror of truth. And in that magic mirror of truth, I want you to imagine that there is a, again, the soul speaks through your imagination.
Okay.
And as we do this, then, I encourage you to look into that mirror now and imagine that there's a frame around the mirror, okay?
Uh-huh.
And I ask you to describe the frame. Is it wood or metal and so on?
So
you
really
have a
see
real,
it.
You,
yeah.
So you see it there. And then at the count of three, I ask you to scan your own reflected energy that you see in that mirror of yourself.
Huh.
And let me know what you sense or feel or see. Now, as an aside, I find that about 60% of my clients are visual. So they go into a past life or look into the magic mirror or go into the spirit world, and they see it all.
Really?
Hooray.
Wow.
It's like they're starring in their own motion picture costume drama if it's a past life or up in the spirit
world.
Terrific.
Wow, that's wonderful. That sounds actually.
But, yeah, exactly. But about 40% of my clients, and I'm in this group myself, are more kinesthetic or audio, which means that whenever I go into one of my past lives or up in the spirit world, I don't see anything. I sense it. I feel it. I hear it. And so I say to clients, like myself, you know, I feel like I'm making it up. But
yes.
I'm making up this story, not that one over there.
Yes.
So make it up. The soul speaks through your imagination.
Isn't that interesting? And so how would they know then? Do they see darkness, or do they picture an entity that's unpleasant looking? How do they perceive this entity that is
okay,
causing
so
trouble?
It could be as they look at themselves in the mirror that they have they may see, for example, there's a black shadow on my left shoulder. Or I sense that there's something that's not right in my heart region.
Huh.
Or there's something down in my left foot. Or there's I don't see myself. There's somebody else standing there.
Really? Wow.
Yes, yes. And so that gives me a sense that, again, if you're looking at yourself, when in the trance state, you should see yourself. But as you look at yourself, if there are things that are out of place, that don't look right to you about yourself, report them to me. Okay?
Isn't that interesting? All right. And so then, are you, I mean, I'm so full of questions, I don't know where to start. I mean,
okay, well.
I guess toward the end you're going to talk more comprehensively about the removal process, which
mm-hmm.
is a process, right?
Right, exactly.
But one question I want to ask, which I've been thinking about, is one of the things which seems to me to be helpful in keeping our aura strong is courting loving and positive thoughts. When you have negative thoughts, I think that also can damage your aura. Don't you think so?
Most likely, yes, because there's something there that's causing the negative thoughts.
Yes. Oh, so you think that's, isn't that interesting? So that may well be an indication of a problem if you can't get
mm-hmm.
past your negative. Fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, exactly.
And, well, this is... There's a whole world. We could probably talk for a whole day about this stuff and not exhaust it. One of the things I want to talk about, I'm just going to take a quick break, but one of the things I want to talk about when we come back is the extraterrestrial entities affecting the world, because I've lately learned more about that, and that's a little bit amazing as well. But meanwhile, this is Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. My nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, and Flying High in Spirit. You can learn about all my books and also find my blog at robertagrimes.com. Now, our wonderful guest this week is Peter Wright, who in person is just, I have to say, a delightful person, but he seems to hang around with some pretty awful guys in your just professionally. I mean, do you ever worry you're going to get attacked by one of these things that you're trying to remove from someone?
Well, it is a concern. I protect myself. I call in the light, and I sage the room, if you will, cleanse the room after the session with the client, just to make sure.
Wow. Has it ever happened to you?
Yes. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And what? Yep. So you have to basically do a releasement from yourself.
I call upon colleagues who do this work, and they help me.
So what you're doing is kind of scary. You're very brave.
Well,
I didn't realize how brave you are.
But for the most part, this is work that is fairly easy to do. And for the most part, the spirits that we work with, or that we uncover or encounter, are rather benign, who have just lost their way.
And they're confused. Yes.
They're confused, yes. And there's a better place for them to be, which is in the light.
And this is probably most of regular earthbound people,
yes.
I would think.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They're not evil by nature, and they don't mean to harm you, but they just don't really understand what's going on.
Exactly.
And the thing to understand is once you're out of your body, you're already in a timeless state, which is what the eternal life we return to is. So time is a subjective thing. It doesn't. You really aren't aware of it passing in the same way we are here. So they may not understand. You may have picked up someone who died 100 years ago. They may not know 100 years has passed. So
right.
it can be difficult for them, too. They don't mean to hurt you. They just are trying to get by.
Right.
All right.
Right.
So let's talk about I just want to mention something I've learned about recently, which is that the Earth is apparently under attack by extraterrestrial negative entities, interdimensional, so they're not physical, who are pretty serious about trying to use the fact that our energy is so negative on this planet, and it's what they feed on. Now, this is the most grotesque thing I can ever remember thinking about, but they want to milk us for negativity. And one of the things that's upsetting to them is that actual progress is now being made in the direction of good communication with the dead electronically. Real progress is being made. I'm going to shortly have Craig Hogan on to talk about his experiments. Yeah, it's quite exciting to hear what he has to say. But the negative entities don't want us to be in contact with the dead because the jig will be up. We will stop being so negative ourselves, and what are they going to eat? So part of the process of making this all happen has been clearing away some very nasty negative entities. They're always low energy, in that they're love at being the highest vibration. They're sort of stuck in the lowest realms of the afterlife levels, but they're real, and the only way to fight them is with love. The spirits doing this work fill the area where these things are with love, and they can't stand to be there, so they shrink away. I mean, all of that is kind of weird, and yet it's consistent with what we know could well be true. I just find it difficult to believe. But there it is, and he says it is working. The work after a year that the spirits are doing to get rid of these guys is working.
Absolutely, because love is such a powerful emotion. And for those who are ETs, they often do not understand love because they don't have a heart or a sense of empathy. They're simply mental, rational beings. And they're ancient peoples who are unable to understand love or sexual relationships, which is why they often, not often, why they can attach to humans with experiment and do experiments on humans to find out more about our emotions, about love and the like.
You don't want, no one listening wants to be affected by these creatures. If you think after this conversation that you might be, it's a good idea to consult someone, and Peter will tell us toward the end of the hour how to find someone who can actually help you figure out if you got any baggage and how to get rid of it, because that's the only way to really know that you're just yourself and be empowered, really, to be just yourself. But I'd like to talk briefly about the fact that drugs and alcohol they're probably the most common ways people will really damage their auras, because it's one of the things I've known for a long time is that those who have a physical addiction don't lose that addiction when they die, but it is becomes a craving they can't satisfy. They don't have a body. And without a body, you can't take drugs, you can't, and you just don't have these effects. So if you crave something and you can't get it without a body, what are you going to do? You're going to go latch onto a body that is able to do these things.
Right. And so as you latch onto the body, that human, physical, living body, what can typically happen for the person who has the earthbound spirit attached is they hear a voice that says, let's have a drink.
Yes, yeah.
And our therapeutic model does not believe in the possibility of earthbound spirits or negative attachments, and therefore it must be your problem, person, rather than actually someone who's attached to you who is encouraging you to drink.
In point of fact, especially with drinking, if you have ever gotten really drunk in a bar, it's probably 90% likely you have at least one drunkard trying to get you to go back to that bar again. I've come to believe that's true, and I had it in my own life, and I can tell you it blights families. My father was an alcoholic, he had a lot of trouble kicking the addiction. I didn't realize until much, much later that there is actually kind of a sign you can sometimes see in someone who is in this condition. And it's almost like, I don't know how else to describe it except it's like a greenish look around their eyes. It's a strange, strange look about their eyes. My father had that. And then after he managed to kick his addiction, eventually the spirit that was trying to get him to go back went away and he looked normal then.
Okay. All right. I've not heard that, but again, there are so many variations on this.
Well, I didn't even realize what it was, Peter, until a friend of mine had, who was also someone who had been a drunkard, was telling me about her past, and she said she knew she had a problem because she looked in the mirror and she described how her eyes looked.
Wow.
I thought, oh my God, that's how my father's looked too before he got rid of the. Because I didn't know he had an entity. I knew nothing about any of this when I was a child. But this is scary. This is something serious. And it's something, as you point out, that science, medicine, will not help you with. They have no clue. No psychologist no that practices in a traditional way has any clue about any of this.
So let's then, if we may, take a moment and talk about how I deal with this and how other people with spirit releasement issues can be helped, because I think this is important. Going back to that magic mirror, let's say you as the client have identified there's a shadow on your left shoulder, there is something that is this darkness in your solar plexus, and something in the right foot. So I then ask, to put this in perspective, I find that within us, there are often many different aspects of ourselves that we could give voices to. For example, let's say you have in the midst of a session, you're feeling some sadness. So I may say to you, okay, Roberta, where do you feel that sadness in your body? scan your body. Oh, it's in my chest. All right. As you focus on your chest, what color is the sadness? Green, you tell me. First thought that comes. Okay? And what shape is that green sadness? First thought. Oh, it's a circle. Can you put your mind and take it and place it around that green circle of sadness, taking control of it? Because up until now, it's been controlling you.
Huh.
And as you do that, let's invite that sadness to come forth and talk to us. So become the sadness and speak to me as the sadness. Okay, so we're putting a voice to feelings that you have in your body or emotions or whatever. So with the magic mirror of truth, let's invite that shoulder, that darkness in your shoulder to come forth in your imagination and announce its presence with words like, I'm here, and let it speak to us. Okay? So the voice says, I'm here. Now I'm going to ask this voice two key questions. Are you a part of Roberta or something else? First thought.
Oh, how fascinating. Okay.
Yes or no? Yes. All right. Or let's say the answer is something else. All right. Have you ever been alive in your own human body? Yes or no? Yes.
Ah.
So now we have the possibility that this is an earthbound spirit, because earthbound spirits have been alive in their own human bodies.
And they would know this. They would know, well, yes, I have been
Absolutely.
In a different body before. Okay.
Uh-huh. So let's go back to when you had your own human body. And tell me, were you male or female? First thought, I was male, we're told. And what happened to that physical, and if I were to see you in that physical body, what would you look like? So the energy, the voice, will describe themselves in that body. And then what happened to that physical body when you died? Often it will say something like, well, I died, but I didn't know where to go. So what did you do? Well, I saw Roberta and went into her because I was looking for a place to hide.
Oh. Oh, how interesting. Okay.
So how old was Roberta when you joined her? 8 years old or 15 or 30?
Yes.
How have you been affecting Roberta since then? Well, I've been causing this and this and this.
How interesting, and they'll even confess to all of that.
Absolutely.
How fascinating.
Absolutely.
Now, do you do this by phone, or do you do it in your office only, or how is it done?
I prefer to do it in my office, but I work with a group of colleagues who do this by phone, who are very psychic and on occasion we'll do this by phone working with clients as well.
All right, and I interrupted you at the wrong time as you were about to
say
you presto get them to leave. What do you
do? All right. So, therefore, we find out the story, how they've been affecting you, and then I ask the question, when you had your own human body, who did you love the most? And, you know, was it your wife? Was it your one of your children? Was it your dog? Whatever.
Yes.
Again,
yes.
You're getting the spirit talking.
Okay.
Through the client. The client is sort of repeating what they're hearing inside of them that the spirit is saying to them. Okay.
Right.
And what we're doing then is, let's say it's my wife. Well, your wife has been looking for you and searching for you. And at last she's found you because you came forth today. And she's standing in that shaft of light over there. Do you see her? Yes, I do, says the spirit.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Ask her to come over. Is she near you now? Yes. Is she glad to see you? Oh, yes. What does she want you to do? She wants me to go with her into the light. Oh, would you be willing to leave Roberta? Yes. Roberta, would you be willing to let the spirit go? Because we need your permission
as well. Oh, with my blessing. What a happy story.
So, Spirit, I want you to look inside of Roberta, and I want you to gather up everything that you placed there, every thought, every feeling, every compartment of mind, every track of emotion, everything that you placed within Roberta that's been affecting her in any way, especially negative, and gather it up and put it in front of her, at her feet. And let me know when you've done that. Now, along the way, or at this point, we invite Archangel Michael and his healing angels of the light to come and join us. Roberta, are they here? Because most likely you'll be aware of them, Roberta, in sensing or feeling or seeing their presence with us. Okay?
Okay. Wow.
Okay. So
yes.
The Spirit then says, finish. So that stuff is at your feet that was placed within you that's now outside of you. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
So, Archangel Michael, would you then be willing to transform that stuff with your robe of light and take it into the light at the count of three? One, two, three. Is it gone? Yes, it is, I'm told. You tell me, Roberta, okay?
Okay.
So now, Spirit, would you be willing to go with your wife and Archangel Michael into the spirit world? Yes. So at the count of three, Archangel Michael, please take the Spirit and his wife into the spirit world. One, two, three. And Roberta, watch them as they go to make sure they go.
Isn't that amazing?
One, two, three. Have they gone? Yes, you report to me, Roberta.
Huh. Okay.
Then we invite Archangel Michael to come back and scan you to see if there are any more spirits. Or we can go back to that magic mirror of truth, have you look at yourself in the mirror again, and often any spirit, if we've gotten rid of all of them, you will look at yourself and you'll look just perfect as you should without any of these splotches or shadows or whatever.
Wow. And so do I feel different then? Do I instantly feel different?
Well, over the next few days you will, because it can take some time for the energy to completely get outside of you, if you will, to work its way out through you. But within 3 or 4 days, you should be feeling pretty good. And often the negative voice, if it was from an earthbound spirit, has left as well.
That's great. All right. So what percentage of people do you think are affected this way?
Well, I find that about 25 to 30% of my clients are affected by either earthbound or negative entities. We mentioned Dr. Edith Fiore up front, who's that psychiatrist, and she found that up to 50% of the population has one or more spirits attached to them.
Wow.
I don't know. I think that's pretty high. But even so, they're more present than we believe, or we even know, because it's, again, not part of our therapeutic model.
Right, right. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And so people who are troubled in some way, people who are depressed, people who are sad, people who are have inexplicable rages, anything mm-hmm. that you sort of wish you could control about yourself but you can't, mm-hmm. Those might be caused not by you, but by somebody who has chosen to enter your body and give you trouble.
Exactly. So if we could, then let's move on to how do you deal with the negative entities?
Okay.
Okay, because the earthbounds are those that have had human bodies.
Yes, yes.
The negative entities have not.
Okay, what do we do if it's a nasty negative entity?
All right, so in my magic mirror, I ask, are you a part of Roberta or something else? First thought, something else, you tell me, or the voice says to me. Have you ever had your own human body? No. Ah. Okay, so most likely this could be a negative energy. All right?
Wow.
So if that's the case.
But what if they lie to you? They might say, they don't want you to be removed, right? So maybe they would lie.
They can lie, exactly. So we engage them in further conversation. And think back. Tell me about the human body that you had. Was it male or female or something else?
Oh, I see. Okay, so you could
trick
them right
talking.
Back again. Yeah.
Keep them talking, and the truth will come out. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So if we then realize it is a negative energy, Then we immediately bring in Archangel Michael and his healing angels of the light and ask them to surround and protect everything within this room. And I ask the question, what's your source? Who sent you? To Roberta.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it will say the devil or hell or Satan,
yeah,
or just or no response at all.
Right.
So I then ask Archangel Michael and the angels of the white light to come now and completely wrap any and all dark beings in a strong and sturdy net or web of pure white light. And I ask you, Roberta, what's happening? And most likely you'll report to me that, oh my gosh, there's something's going on here within,
yes,
me.
Yes.
Okay? And pull these nets snug, Archangel Michael, and keep tightening them slowly and steadily until these beings respond to my questions promptly and truthfully. And again, I'll come back to you, Roberta, and say, what's happening now? So then, once that's done, they've been surrounded by nets or webs of pure white light. These nets are becoming tighter and tighter as they surround each and every one of these energies, making,
wow,
them smaller and smaller. So I call upon the spokesperson for the dark ones. Who's in charge? Come forth. Speak through Roberta's thoughts. And Roberta, you share with me what you're being told. Who sent you? Who hired you?
Wow. And
how
so
long
usually
have
it's going
with...
to be a group? It'll be more than one if they're
could
negative
be
entities? Okay.
It could be, yep, yep. How long have you been with Roberta? What was happening that made her vulnerable? Was there an agreement or arrangement to come to be with her that's from this life or another life that created this attachment? Because it could be past life related.
Really? Oh,
yep,
my goodness. This is, mm-hmm, all so amazing and complicated, but still it makes sense.
It
life
makes sense, and it's pretty simple,
yeah,
when you get right down to it. It really
it
is pretty simple.
It is that, but it's just not pleasant. Okay.
It's
so
not pleasant. So we find out how they've affected you.
Okay.
And then we call upon Archangel Michael and the angels of the white light to take all of those that are surrounded by nets and webs of pure white light and suspend them in time and space in the white light now. So thus they're being extracted from you and taken into the light.
Which is not a fun place to be if you're a dark entity.
Well, but all dark entities once were part of the light.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
They were
all right,
once part of the light.
I get it.
But we're
it
in a duality,
okay,
here of dark and light.
Okay. All right. Makes sense. That makes,
yes,
good sense.
Yes. Or another way to get rid of them is to ask that energy to look inside of itself. What do you find in there? Oh, darkness, darkness. Go inside the darkness. What do you find? Anger. Go inside the anger. Down into the rage, whatever. What do you find at your very center? Oh, there's a light there, the energy will say.
Really?
Now, yes. Now stare at the light. As you stare at the light, what happens? Oh, it's getting brighter. That's right. It's getting brighter and brighter and larger, isn't it? Yes, it is, the entity says. So pretty soon it becomes all-encompassing, and the white light takes over the darkness, and they become, if you will, a light being again.
Are you? So you're saying you can actually cure the negative entities as well?
If they're willing.
Oh, isn't that amazing? That is lovely. You must love what you do.
Well, then they're willing to go into the light because they don't need to be creating despair or depression or anger or whatever within the client any longer. Because there's a better place for them to be, which is in the light.
This is fascinating. All right, so this is, unfortunately, we're coming to the end of our time. I feel as if we're really just getting started. We're going to need to do this again. And I'm also going to have you back, Peter, to talk about past life regression, because that's something else that I've sort of ignored and I need to pay more attention to.
Okay,
but
sure.
Tell people now how they would reach you.
Okay, I have a website, and I invite people to go to my website, which is www.insightsfromwithin.com. Insights, plural, fromwithin.com. I have a practice in Santa Barbara, California, and work with clients around the nation, around the world, through a group of cosmic healers that I'm a part of, that we specialize in working with earthbound spirits and negative entities and ETs, and we do this remotely, so you don't have to come to my office. Rather, we can come to you through phone and the like.
What percentage of success have you had, really? Is this something which often works? What has been your sense of how effective this process is?
I found it that it can be extremely effective. I can't say that we resolve every one of these cases, but for your typical client who is dealing with, in a way, a garden variety of earthbound spirit or negative entity, that's one session, and that can therefore help release you. But we then ask you to refrain from activities that can create opportunities for earthbounds or negative entities to enter into your field.
Very
and by that,
point.
We're just saying, you know, keep yourself, your aura strong.
Yes. I guess that's really how we should sum up our time together. Keeping your aura strong is more important than most people have any idea of. And
yes.
The things that you can do that might damage your aura are very important to know. Don't get drunk. Don't take recreational drugs, especially apparently marijuana. Don't allow anger or negative thoughts to occupy you, because that even if you have an entity already, the entity is expressing himself, he'll just become stronger. So say again how people would reach you, Peter.
Yes, it's www.insightsfromwithin.com.
Insightsfromwithin.com.
Mm-hmm.
This has been wonderful. Thank you so much. That's exactly what we needed. Meanwhile, I've just got to say, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. You are a powerful, eternal being. You never began, you never will end, and when you fully grasp what that means, it's going to change your whole life for the better. If you'd like to learn more of the amazing things we're learning about our one reality, of course, past episodes of Seek Reality are available for free on webtalkradio.net and also on iTunes. My own nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, Flying High in Spirit, and Now We've Learned also My Thomas. You'll find details about all my books and find my blog at robertagrimes.com. Our guest next week will be my wonderful friend, Sandra Champlain. Sandra started out as a skeptic. She investigated the afterlife evidence, and boy, do I know what a great voyage that is. And she wrote in great detail about her experiences in her wonderful book, We Don't Die, A Skeptic's Discovery of Life After Death. Just the personality of this woman you're going to love. Her book is a great explanation of what she learned and how she learned it and how it affected her and how it could affect you. It's a handbook, really, for you to be on your own journey of personal growth and exploration. I think you're going to love Sandra, but I think also her book is important. It covers the same ground that I cover in The Fun of Dying, but her book is really a much more detailed way to explore this evidence and explore it all more deeply. As I say, you're just going to love Sandra anyway. This week, our guest has been my dear friend, Peter Wright. He's a credentialed hypnotherapist, and he's an expert in a field where I'm trying to learn more now. Spirit possession. Possession turns out to be a very big problem, primarily because it's being ignored by science. I still don't like to think about it, but I feel better knowing how I could deal with it if it happened to me. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. my dear friends, it's time for all of us now to struggle past the ignorance that's been imposed on us by mainstream science and by mainstream Christianity. After all, one claims to know about the material world, the other claims to know about spiritual matters, but in reality, both are just old belief systems that are riven with self-imposed ignorance and blindness. We've been exploring one amazing area of self-imposed ignorance and blindness that is causing so much unnecessary pain. We, you and I, do not have to be content anymore with trusting false beliefs, because now it's possible for us to know the truth. And as we learn the truth, we empower ourselves as people in history have never been empowered before. It's an exciting voyage. But for now, please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in Hour One Reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being, and you are infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.